Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good for us to be here on another session with Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. And my question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So we'd like to welcome all of our Twitter followers, all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all our LinkedIn connections, and all our Facebook friends and followers to Truth Ministry. So it's so good to be here, and we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through you, through all, and in you all. So as I always say, this we happen to be in this book of Ephesians at this time. This will be our third week that we've been in the book of Ephesians. Paul's first order of prison epistles to the church at Ephesus, which happens to be one of the churches that he did start. So these people were already saved. They already have been to the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, just like they did on the day of Pentecost, as it was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. So we thank God for his word. So we're so grateful that we've been able to go through this book, and we are part ways in the fourth chapter. Here in the book of Ephesians. Just to do a little recap, I'll just start at the beginning of the fourth chapter. So we had went through, we were talking about what God is able to do, and Paul's knowledge in the mystery, and a little, of what we've talked about in the prior lessons about he gave John the revelation. He gave Peter the keys, talking about Jesus, and he gave Paul the mystery. So he's sharing what he knows about the mystery. And then, so you know what a mystery is. A mystery is a hidden truth. And so even the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, talked about the mystery of the kingdom of heaven in the 13th chapter of Matthew. So it's all in there. It's a Bible. It's in the Bible. It's a puzzle, and you got to put the pieces together. So God did it like that on purpose. Like St. John 5:39, Jesus says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And he's talking about none other than the scriptures. So Apostle Paul was so dedicated, he called himself the prisoner of the Lord. So he goes on here, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you, so I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So those first three verses is all one sentence. So I'm always forgetting. So I would like to, should you desire to call in, if you have a question, if you have a comment, you are welcome. Our call-in number for Truth Ministry is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. You are welcome to call if you have a question or a comment as we move on in the Holy Writ. So he's saying here that one sentence, the first three verses, that he was a prisoner of the Lord, and he went on to let them know something you're doing. So this is action, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then he goes on, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling." Remember now, he's talking to Gentiles. He's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's also, important that he's already talking to people that are saved. So he goes on here, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Why would he say that? Because he's writing to people who are already saved. So this is so very important. Sometimes people don't like for you to be redundant, but in the world, they're redundant. On your job, in the marketplace, they are redundant. A lot of things you do over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know it. But sometimes people don't like people to repeat things to them, but that's just the way life is. Some things you're doing over and over and over. So we were taught in the Bible, pay very close attention to repetition. So there's a lot of things that the master is saying over and over and over again. Why is that? Because he wants you to get it. He wants you to understand. He wants you to comprehend. He wants you to see it. And this is why Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand it. He can't comprehend it if he's not born again. So when he called Abraham, he called him more than once. When the Lord called Samuel, he thought that Eli the prophet was talking to him. And so he said, he went on to let him know after a couple times he inquired, "Did you call me?" And so then he said, when he called you again, say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." So he called Abraham more than once. So this is the way God does. He is a God of repetition. So he goes on here, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men." So this is when he died. He went down into the lower parts. I mean, he dealt with the darkness, the wickedness of In the spirit world, he dealt with. He didn't go to hell and preach. That's so stupid. That's the most ridiculous thing when you think about it. Somebody said he went down in hell and preached and took the keys from the devil. If that's the case, the devil would have got saved. If Jesus went to hell and preached, nobody, and people were in hell burning, everybody would have repented and believed the gospel. That don't even make sense. You got to understand what's going on. And in the word of the Lord, the word hell is referred in the 16th Psalm. He says, "Thou would not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. And he's talking about leaving his soul in hell and talking about David, the patriarch David. He saw corruption, but Jesus didn't see corruption is what he is talking about. He's talking about the grave. No one's in hell. Nobody, when you die, if you're not saved, you don't go directly to hell. If you die and you are saved, you don't go directly in heaven. But the dead are in a state of unconsciousness, be it saved or alive. If you're in Christ, you're dead in Christ, or you're alive in Christ. The point being, you got to be in Christ. And the only way to get in Christ is to be baptized into Christ. This is what he's talking about in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. So you got to be water baptized. That means you're buried with him by baptism unto death. So the only way to get in Christ, you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in water and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or other languages, self-same thing, as the Spirit gives utterance. So he goes on here, he that ascended, what is it that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He's asking a question. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. I made reference before on last week, how far is far above all heavens, and the sphere that airplanes fly in, anywhere from 33,000 to 38,000 feet, depending on which, how fast you're going, and if you're going east, west, north, and south, they have them on different levels. I actually got this information from a pilot that was sitting right next to me when I was on a flight back in February, last of January, first of February, because I was delayed on my trip back from Florida. So anyway, I actually got this information firsthand from a pilot. So that's one of the spheres that we're in. But that's one of the heavens. So I'm told, I heard a meteorologist, a weatherman, said that, I think it was 35,000 feet, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, that is 8 miles high. That is a long way up. But Jesus ascended up, the writer here, St. Paul says, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So we talked about that, how there are no apostles today. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They were eyewitnesses. They were chosen by the Lord. They were taught personally by the Lord. They saw him after he rose from the dead. Even Apostle Paul was the last one to see him. And then lastly, they all died horrible deaths except for John the Revelator, because he had to be put in the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of God. He had to see the end. And so we go on here. So the purpose of the ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God. And incidentally, this is what we're talking about on today. So my ongoing theme is the Godhead, who is the one God who is the head of all things. And we want you to know that there is only one God. He is the head of the church, which is his body. And anything that has more than one head is a freak. And God certainly only has one head. So we go on here. He's talking about the purpose of the ministry, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. So children, what is it about a child? They're children. And I think he made mention in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians 13th or 14th, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So what was he saying about children? They're immature. And I remember one time, my second oldest son, when he, I don't know if he was 21 or he was just still a teenager, he said, I'm an adult. So the point being, when you mature, this is what he's talking about. The word perfect means mature. And he definitely told us to be perfect. This is one of the things that Jesus said back during the earthly ministry. He said, Matthew 5:48, I believe it is, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. But what he was talking about is maturity. When he's talking, many times people say, none of us perfect. Would God tell us to do something that he knew we couldn't do? The answer is a resounding no. So he's talking about maturity. So he goes on here, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, here it is right here, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. That word grow up, that means be mature. As a teenager, that's what a lot of us guys used to hear from girls, especially girls that were our age. They say they're ahead of us anyway. But I remember they used to say to boys, we were teenagers, two words. Somebody's done something immature or stupid, for lack of a better word. They would say, grow up. So, in other words, be mature. You need to mount up. So anyway, so he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So he's likening the church to a body, to like a real human body, because with a human body, the members care one for another. And it's amazing. I was just thinking the other day, you think about your own natural body from head to toe. Do you love your ears, your eyes, your toes, your fingers? Which one do you love the most? I would say the answer is you love all of them equally because you need them and you don't want to do without any of them. So it is the same way with Christ, about the members should have the same care for one another. And he deals with that when he talks to the Corinthian church. That's the same way it is with us, what he's talking about here. So he goes on here, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Remember, this was written to people that are already saved, and especially to Gentiles. So he goes on here, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So he's saying their heart is blind. So in another place, he says, if our gospel be hid, is in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I believe, is hid to them which are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, you know, in the face of Jesus Christ. So this is what happened to the children of Israel when, as a nation, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ, and Moses read them, they read Moses, their heart was blind. And so he goes on to say, just like Moses, he put the veil on his face when he talked to the children of Israel, because they couldn't, in other words, because he was glowing. And that makes reference back to what I was saying in the Old Testament when he came down from being with God 40 days and 40 nights. And when he talked to God, he took it off. So he had to put a veil on when he talked to them. So he says, he makes reference to the Corinthian church. He says, which veil is done away in Christ. Then he goes on to say, when it shall turn in the Lord,
you know, talking about their heart. Then they could see, because their heart is blind. So you can't see when you're blind in your heart. So that's one of the sad things about Israel as a nation. But they, God is not going to cast away his people that he foreknew. Paul writes to the church at Rome, you know, is God going to cast away his people which he foreknew? Then he said, God forbid. He's not going to do that. So he goes on here. He was saying in Corinthians, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So remember now, this, I'm going back to the Corinthian church because he had to set this church in order. Now, we're just dealing with the believer's position in the book of Ephesians, but I'm making a point because of what I made reference to. So he says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. They had the letter back then in the old, for the law could not do that it was weak through the flesh. God sent in his own sin in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin. This is in the book of Romans. Condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's the key. The righteousness of the law, we can keep it now because we are filled with the Holy Ghost. So he goes on here, but if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so this is what Moses did, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. How should not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? He's proposing a question. If the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Here it is what I wanted to get to. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Notice now, he's talking about the heart. The next verse, but nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. It what? Their heart. When they turn their heart to God, the veil is going to be taken away because it's already done away. They just don't believe as a nation, the nation Israel, the children of Israel. So they didn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, not just a prophet, as some people try to act like he is. They just want to diminish him down to nothing. But he is the Lord. That's why the writer in 100 Psalms says, know ye not that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He goes on to say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His truth, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. There's only one Lord. It's the same one, or in biblical terminology, we would say the self-same one, which is the same thing. So he goes on here. So when they turn their heart to the Lord, he goes on, that veil has already been taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So that's what makes the difference right there. The word of the Lord in Zechariah 4:6, the self same thing. He says, the word of the Lord which comes, you know, he said unto Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So it's all about him, not about us. People trying to be, it's like Paul said, I'm not, who is Paul? Who is Cephas? They're ministers by whom you believe. I mean, some people are so happy to be a bishop, so happy to be a Suffragan bishop, so happy to be a district elder. You should really just be happy to be saved, to be in the church triumphant. Somebody says, are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride? Have you been baptized into the body and forever there abide? I mean, it's you, I'm the bishop. I'm this. I'm that. I mean, the bishop, actually, when you want to get really technical, there's only one place in the Bible where bishop is spelled with a capital B, and that is, he was talking about returning to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. And the bishop of our souls is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So we preach Jesus and get ourselves out of it. Because, I mean, as James Brown used to say, you know, he had soul and he was super bad. No, Apostle Paul, if you want to, no other words to describe, he was super bad. His degrees had degrees. He was a very learned man. But he said, and he was apostle to the Gentiles. In Romans 11 chapter, he wrote and said, as much as I'm the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. So he was bad, as we would say. But he said, I counted all dung. Dung means a hill of garbage that I may win Christ. So he was just so glad, so grateful, so thankful to be a recipient of the grace of God, that he wasn't vaunting himself that I'm this and I'm that. Because, I mean, there's things he said he could do. He knew numbers of languages. He had numbers of degrees. He was a very learned man. But he knew that it was all about Jesus. So that's why he was saying, we didn't bring nothing here materially or in your mind. When you die as a human, your thoughts perish. I mean, we don't know what we shall be, John says. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So it's going to be so great, so magnificent when he changes us from this vile body. He's going to give us a body, Paul says in Philippians, like unto his glorious body, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So that's why he says our conversation is in heaven, whence we look for the Lord Jesus. So, you know, and then he went on to say he's going to give us a body just like his. So that's what we are looking for. We already have the earnest of our inheritance, which is a down payment on eternal life, or our inheritance that we are going to receive. So the point being is that you're in Christ and you want to stay with him. So we're in a spiritual battle. We're in spiritual warfare, and the devil hates every last one of us. So that's what we have to really understand. That's why when he wrote James, the brother of our Lord, he says that if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that, I mean, it's in Galatians rather, you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. In other words, the devil is an instigator. He'll start it and then leave and let you all hurt, destroy one another, because he's the accuser of the brethren anyway. So he goes on here, like we were saying, having their understanding darkened, the Gentiles, they were walking in the vanity of their mind. Obviously, the ones who were not regenerated, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's why we went back and got that and dealt with the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. So be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You probably heard me quote that before. And another in St. John 8:32, previous verses, he says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And he goes on to say, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free, but make you free. So he goes on here, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So he's talking about the former conversation. He's talking about lifestyle. So he goes on here, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him needeth. That's a good place to be in. That you got, you just like Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So that's the good place to be in, is that you're not looking for a handout, but you want to be able to bless someone else. You have to give to bless someone else. When instead of wanting a handout, you'll be the one who is handing it out. So that's a good place to be in. So he goes on here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So that's hearsay and gossip and backbiting and lying and all that people do one to another. And people can take criticism more than they can take praise. So, but you want to be, most people, you want to be a builder instead of tearing people down right here. So that's what he's talking about. You want to minister grace unto the hearers, because after all, the only reason why, you know, they say, there go I, but for the grace of God. So the only reason why you're standing, the only reason why you got the victory, is because of the grace of God. So we got to help the feeble. Some people, you have to really build them up, because people are wishy-washy and everybody doesn't have the stick-to-itiveness or the battle of the will, or the battle, it's what is going on is in the mind. And I mean, that's really profound. Like I heard Tiger Woods saying today at his news conference, he got 14 majors. He's the second of all time majors, with Jack Nicklaus having 18 majors. So he needs four to tie and five to break his record. But the point being, because he's doing some changes in his golf game, he's been not getting really good results as he has in the past, but he's got the will, he's working on it, and he believes he can still do it. Like somebody said, well, what make you think you can? Because he said, I got three. In other words, I won the U.S. Open 3 times. Don't tell me what I can't do, what he was saying. So you can't argue with success. I don't care who you are. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So that's the same way it is. I thought, like, man, he'll make a good child of God. He'll make a good saint of God, because the point being, that's the battle. It's the battle. Nobody can blow your mind. Somebody had a record out many years ago. Don't let the devil blow your mind. So that's what he wanted to do. You believe God is able to do it for you. You believe you can do it. He believes the battle is that's part. That's half the battle or more. You believe you can do it. If you do, you do it. You're definitely going to give it your best effort. And so that was profound to make a statement like that. I mean, the point being, not just to make that statement, but had success in the past. Just the same way it is with us. Like song says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. So, you know, all the other words, and it goes on, says, look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. So, in other words, he did it before. He will do it again because he is faithful. That's why David said, I look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and the earth. So, again, should you desire to call in, our call-in number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. I'm trying to keep an eye here on the switchboard as I go on here in the lesson. So he goes on here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. That's loud talking. Some people just be talking loud and all, not really saying anything. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then sometimes people are mad at somebody else. You don't even know they are. They lied on you. That's why you can't be, like somebody said, they got the lid on the trash can, so that I ain't taking no garbage today. The lid. So in other words, really, I'm not going to take none. Never, because I got the lid on. So in other words, don't even come to me with garbage, because I am not the garbage can. So that's what kind of attitude that you have to have. And sometimes we may find out bad things or negative things. Like I tell people, I says, if you know me, I say, there are times I find out things. There are things I have found out that I wish I hadn't have. I put it that way. In times past, I'm saying years ago, there are some things I found out that I wish I didn't know. And then there are things that you find out that you're not trying to find out. So in other words, I'm not a busybody. I'm not trying to have you heard or meddling and trying to find out stuff. I'm not that type of a person. I'm trying to mind my own business. So anyway, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So this is what he's saying. So in other words, and the only time you should be looking down on somebody, you're giving them a hand to pick them up, because you're minding your own business. You're trying to help somebody else. Because after all, we all want to make it. Nobody in their right mind want to go to hell, want to be cast into the lake of fire with the devil or with all them lying spirits. I mean, I don't think we really think about it. I mean, most folks, you don't want to hang out with a bunch of drunks or a bunch of folks that's tripping on whatever they on. Now, right now you don't. Or people that's fighting and cursing and violent. All the worst, all of the above that I just said, that you could even imagine, they're going to be in the hell hole, as we say, in the lake of fire. Every kind of nasty spirit you could think of, going to be there. The devil got a pitchfork jabbing somebody, talking about put some more coal in the fire. That's a lie. And in the first place, ain't no pitchfork. God, the fire is already made. Actually, lava, it's enough right under the earth right now to burn. So God already took care of that. And ain't no party. Ain't nobody going to be glad, well, at least I ain't here by myself. No. You ain't going to feel nobody else's pain. You're going to feel your own pain. So, I mean, Jesus said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. He talked about hell more than he ever did heaven during his earthly ministry. And he went on to say, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, I mean, you got to be out of your mind. People, like I did prison ministry, and I used to tell them, people, you know, things, because I know how people talk. I didn't get saved till I was almost 24. I know people would say, hell yeah. or hell yes, the proper people. And I say, nobody want to go to hell. You got to be out of your mind. And it wasn't made for us, no way. Matthew 25 and 41 was made for the devil and his angels. So nobody in their right mind want to be there. You want to be tormented day and night forever and ever. I mean, we're getting messed up enough. They're taking our money, raping us at the gas pumps. You know, they gave us a little reprieve, but they're going back up. I mean, like they're doing us a great favor. They made so many, the oil companies made so many billions of dollars. And hey, we deserve, we shouldn't just be paying what we've been paying for however many months it is that it's been in the twos, $2 or something or whatever. The truth of the whole matter is, if you want to pay us back, you want to give us a break, it should have been free. Now, that's how I feel. So don't make me happy because you went down some, because you already done took advantage of us. You raped us already because we were forced. If we were going to drive, we were forced to pay those prices that we paid. And so we go on here. So he says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. So that's what, see, this is a wicked world. Jesus called it a wicked and perverse generation because he said we shine as lights. So it's a wicked world right now that we're living in. So he talks about the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we're going to get to that. So he goes on here. He tells us to walk in love. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So in other words, you know better. You know what not to do. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, nor which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So ain't no such thing as no telling jokes, a gospel, a rap artist, and all that fool. That's garbage. Ain't no, this ain't funny. I mean, I remember one church I used to go to, they had a little woman telling jokes about the Bible, different people. I mean, this is, see, the devil is so subtle, he will con you, melt you down and water you down. You won't even know. Like Jesus says, you don't know, you're naked, you're poor, you're blind, you're miserable. I'm standing at the door knocking at Revelation 3 and 20. Any man open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. I'll water you down till you ain't got no standard. Because it ain't funny about Job and Jonah and none of that. But that's exactly what this person was doing, was jesting, you know, laughing about, mocking and laughing about biblical characters, so which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. This you know, no whoremonger, that's a man, you know, a whoremonger, it could be a man or a woman, nor unclean person, nor covetousness man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. He goes on here, so we haven't forgot where we came from. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So he says, proving was acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So fellowship ain't just eating. Fellowship is really something that you have in common. It's so intertwined. It's a very technical thing to have fellowship. Some people think fellowship is eating. It ain't got nothing to do with it. You can eat with somebody you don't like or you hate or you want to kill. And so he goes on here, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So in other words, whatever comes to light makes manifest. So in other words, is known, is brought to the light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. So he's talking about people, children of God, who are, remember I made mention of people being unaware, like they were in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. They planted, they sowed, they built, all of the things that they were doing. They were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. They knew it not until the floods came and destroyed them in the days of Noah. They knew it not until God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He's saying, be aware. So don't be asleep. So he's talking about spiritual sleep right here. Awake thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he's not just talking about drinking, but people, some folks are drunk on things. They're bragging what they got, this, that, and the other. They're drunk on stuff. You can be drunk on more than just wine. So we know Proverbs 20 says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Then you go on over into the 31st chapter of Proverbs. Before he starts talking about the virtuous woman and all, he says, give strong drink to him that is of a heavy heart, ready to perish. Strong drink to him that is ready to perish. And wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let them drink and forget their misery. So in other words, it's going to bite like a serpent. So in other words, it's going to get you. That's what happened to Lot. Lot's daughters got him drunk, and they had children by him. And that's where the children of the Ammon come in. Moab, the Moabites, the Ammonites, those lines come in by Lot. His daughter's getting him drunk, and he having children by his daughter. So in other words, he was mocked. He didn't even know it. He didn't perceive when he laid down, and he didn't perceive when he got up, but he made babies by both of his daughters after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So anyway, so he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is what too many times people don't do. You know, this, hey, you could. The ministry is in the church. God has an order. But you're sitting around talking to one another or whatever. Hey, you can get in the word. And if someone asks you a question, they deserve an answer. There's no big I's or no little U's. Then sometimes I've had people used to say to me when I was working for General Motors, you know, they know what the Bible said, but what do you got to say? Well, I don't. I'm believing the word. So I'm not gonna get me out on a limb like that. So that's sometimes people do try to do that also. So he goes on here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So what is he saying in the marriage? They both love one another. Ain't going to be no, I'm this and I'm that. you're going to have the same love one for another, because if you love Jesus, you ain't going to do nothing to hurt your wife, or you ain't going to do nothing to hurt your husband if you love the Lord anyhow. That is the main thing. So ain't no. So in other words, you're going to protect her. You're going to. She's your helpmeet. So you're going to encourage one another. You're going to meet each other's needs. You're on the same team. You're not going to hurt one another. That's what that's talking about. So in other words, there will be no infidelity in that type of marriage, because if you're focusing on one another and pleasing God, ain't no devil going to get in. Ain't nobody else going to get in. That's why Jesus said, "What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." He was talking about the marriage. So he was saying that he might present to himself a glorious church. So this is how much what he thinks of the church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own, love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So he goes on here, "No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church." So in other words, you're not going to hurt one another. You're going to help one another. So nobody's a prisoner of nobody. That's ridiculous. You're adults. You do things together. There's things that you do. You're not together, but you're still together, because you can't wait until you get back together, because you have love one for the other. So this is the way it's supposed to be. So he says, "We are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery." So remember, Paul, he gave the mystery, "But I speak concerning Christ and the church. So nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So this is exactly analogy how the Lord feels about his church. He's going to marry his bride. And the church right now is his espoused bride. He's going to marry the bride before he comes back before we come back to fight after the 7 years of the tribulation. The prophet says, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Step on that Mount of Olives and crack it in half. Oh, it's on." He's coming back to fight. Going to be his bride then. So then the 19th chapter of Revelation had a name written on his vesture, on his thigh, and says his name is called the Word of God, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So in other words, he's not going to be playing. That's when they're going to all see him. They that pierced him is going to see him also. But the rapture of the church, nobody's going to see him. And the people getting on social media, putting clouds on and all that. The first place, Jesus didn't have blonde hair. He didn't have brunette hair and blue eyes and all that foolishness. That's, the way they're making him look. But where he came from, you figure how he looked. But Paul said, "We don't know him after the flesh. We don't know him after the flesh. No, we know no man after the flesh." So henceforth, he says, we don't know Christ after the flesh. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So in other words, it doesn't matter. It ain't like he rose from the dead to die no more. So the office of sonship is not over until they look at his hands that they pierce, and his body, his feet. They're gonna ask him, "When did you get those?" And he's gonna reply. This is in the book of Zechariah. "I was wounded in the house of my friends." And also in the book of Zechariah 12:10, the latter clause, he says, "They shall look upon me." This is Zechariah 12:10 in the Old Testament. "They shall look upon me whom they have pierced." Remember, God who quickeneth the dead, that means he makes the dead alive. and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So that's another scripture in the Old Testament. They're going to see him. He prophesied about himself. So we should just end right there. Then next week we'll come back and finish up the we're going to talk about the warfare and the other things in the sixth chapter of Ephesians on our next session. So it's been a great blessing to be able to go through this book, and he's letting them know, the believers know their position. And so, I mean, what an analogy. He's talking about the husband and the wife, and I speak concerning Christ and the church. So what an analogy. So what love that he has for us. So this is why John says, hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So he didn't just talk about it, but he done something. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Like Jesus said, a good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. A hireling, he flee when he see the wolf coming. Not the good shepherd. I'm the door. You know, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he went on to let them know, man, you didn't just think you killed me. No man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. So thank God he didn't just see that we were headed to a devil's hell, but he actually did something about it. And so we thank you, and we will talk to you on next time. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Remember now, the subject is God, who is He is the head of all things. And we want you to know our ongoing question. I want to know, and you need to ask yourself, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?